Imagine being assigned to command a nuclear submarine with the worst performance in the fleet. This was the challenge facing Commander L. David Marquette when he took charge of USS Santa Fe in 1999. Within a year, this underperforming vessel rose from worst to first in the Navy's rankings. How? By rejecting the traditional leader-follower model that had dominated military thinking for centuries. Marquette's revolutionary leader-leader approach distributed decision-making authority throughout the crew, creating an environment where everyone thought and acted like a leader. The transformation was so profound that management guru Stephen Covey declared Santa Fe the most empowered organization I've ever seen. This wasn't just a temporary improvement. It created enduring excellence that continued long after Marquette departed. For centuries, we've been trapped in a leadership paradigm, dividing people into thinkers and doers. This leader-follower structure worked for building pyramids or running factories, but fails dramatically for today's knowledge work. People treated as followers operate at reduced capacity, their creativity and initiative suppressed as they wait for orders. Traditional empowerment programs contain an inherent contradiction. When a leader says, "I empower you," they reinforce the power imbalance they claim to address. Marquette learned this painfully when his early empowerment attempts aboard USS Will Rogers resulted in work errors, missed deadlines, and near-catastrophic equipment failures. This experience forced him to question conventional leadership wisdom and identified three troubling contradictions. Humans are naturally empowered until actively disempowered. How we manage others contradicts how we want to be managed. And organizational performance becomes dangerously dependent on a single leader's technical competence. Santa Fe's remarkable turnaround rested on three interconnected pillars: control, competence, and clarity. Rather than maintaining the traditional submarine hierarchy, Marquette systematically pushed decision-making authority to where the information naturally resided, with the operators and technicians doing the actual work. The most transformative mechanism was the introduction of "I intend to" language. Instead of seeking permission for every action, officers would state their intentions, to which Marquette would typically respond with a simple "very well." This linguistic shift forced everyone to think and operate at the next level of leadership. Officers of the deck began thinking like captains, department heads like commanding officers. The result was dramatic. Rather than one captain giving orders to 134 passive followers, Santa Fe developed 135 proactive, thinking leaders at every level. Marquette also eliminated bureaucratic monitoring systems, encouraged crew members to think aloud during operations, and transformed the crew's relationship with inspectors from one of fear to one of engagement. These changes began producing measurable results within months as crew members at all levels started taking genuine ownership of their responsibilities. As authority shifted downward, technical knowledge became crucial. In traditional top-down structures where sailors simply followed orders, deep understanding wasn't necessary. But when empowered to make decisions, intimate technical knowledge became vital. This lesson crystallized after a serious incident in the torpedo room where improper valve operation caused significant equipment malfunction. The Santa Fe crew adopted a powerful yet simple creed: "We learn." This wasn't just a slogan, it became their daily operational philosophy. The submarine effectively transformed into a learning and competence factory where each sailor served as both student and teacher. Their most effective competence-building mechanism was "take deliberate action," a structured approach where sailors would pause, verbalize their intended action, gesture toward the relevant equipment, and execute only after a purposeful pause. This created a crucial cognitive break that allowed operators to catch potential errors before they occurred. An inspector later noted, "Your guys tried to make the same number of mistakes as everyone else, but the mistakes never happened because of deliberate action." The final pillar was clarity, ensuring everyone throughout the organization understood what they were about. Rather than focusing on avoiding errors, Santa Fe shifting to achieving excellence. The traditional approach of tracking errors created a culture where avoiding mistakes became the prime focus, making the crew gun-shy. Success became merely the absence of failure, and as the crew joked, your reward is no punishment. To build trust, Marquette took concrete actions that demonstrated genuine care for his people. The submarine's rich legacy provided inspiration. They made announcements when passing the locations of sunken submarines and read Medal of Honor citations when qualifying new submariners. These practices connected them to something larger than themselves. The Santa Fe developed guiding principles that served as practical decision-making tools rather than wall decorations. These included initiative, innovation, intimate technical knowledge, courage, commitment, continuous improvement, integrity, empowerment, teamwork, openness, timeliness, and leadership at every level. To make these meaningful, they incorporated them into awards and evaluations, describing behaviors using the language of these principles. Marquette concluded that empowerment alone cannot transform leadership. While it counters traditional disempowerment, it still operates within a leader-follower dynamic where power is granted, creating dependency as people wait for permission rather than acting on their own. What organizations truly need is emancipation, recognizing the inherent genius, energy, and creativity in all people. Unlike empowerment, emancipation acknowledges that leaders don't bestow talents but remove barriers preventing their natural expression. This shifts people from asking, "What should I do?" to declaring, "This is what I see needs to be done." This transformation was evident during a mission in the Strait of Hormuz when a hydraulic oil leak threatened their deployment. When Ensign Aviles spotted a Navy supply ship and suggesting asking for oil, an unprecedented move, the crew demonstrated emancipated thinking in action. The deck quickly filled with coordinated activity, with crew members at all levels initiating necessary steps through "I intend to" statements. This spontaneous operation showed how emancipated teams respond to challenges with greater speed, creativity, and effectiveness than traditionally managed ones. The leader-leader model consistently delivers three transformative outcomes: exceptional performance, sustained excellence, and systematic development of new leaders throughout the organization. Its success on a nuclear submarine, one of the most technically complex and high-stakes environments, proves its potential effectiveness in any organizational context. To implement this model, organizations must identify where excellence is created, map out necessary frontline decisions, and ensure employees have detailed technical knowledge, clear understanding of organizational goals, genuine decision-making authority, and explicit responsibility for outcomes. The greatest challenge is self-control. Leaders must resist the ingrained impulse to take control and create followers. This requires constant vigilance against years of conditioning. The question isn't about readiness to begin transformation, but having the determination to sustain the long-term thinking needed to unleash your organization's intellectual and creative potential. What if leadership meant creating more leaders rather than directing others? USS Santa Fe demonstrates that when we trust people with responsibility and give them tools to succeed, they exceed expectations. The future belongs to organizations that transform followers into leaders.